Hello. Welcome to the Same Page Podcast. My name is Susan Barlow, and I will be your host today. The Same Page Podcast is a series of podcasts where we are going to interview both family members and individuals with disabilities to talk about lessons learned, things they wish they knew way back when, specifically around employment and transition and life. So the podcast is sponsored by RAISE, and RAISE is the National Technical Assistance Center that provides support to parent centers across the country, specifically around topics related to transition to adulthood as well as employment. So stay tuned and sit back and relax. So let's get started. We are going to be introducing our panelists today. Crystal and Everett, could you take a second to introduce yourselves?
Sure, you want to go first there, Mom?
Sure, I can go first. Hi, my name is Crystal, and first and foremost, I am Everett's mother for the last almost 40 years. I live in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, with my little rescue dog. I'm a proud grandparent of Everett's little girl, who happens to call me honey. I'm retired special education, 30
Yay!
years, and I'm currently teaching yoga and do reflexology. So that's me.
Very cool. Very
Yeah,
cool.
and I'm Everett. I guess I'm the son. And so I live also in Pennsylvania in Allentown, which is in Northeast Pennsylvania, purposely about an hour and a half away from my mother, who I love and adore. But Allentown is mentioned in a Billy Joel song, and they make it sound like it's really awful to live here. It's not that bad. It's really okay. And I am a person with a disability. I have cerebral palsy, and I've had that my entire life. And I pick on my mom and say I live far away on purpose. But honestly, we have learned and grown together as I guess son and mom throughout my entire life, at least. And so I wouldn't be where I am without my mom today. So I'm happy to be here to kind of share the things that we learned throughout our journey together.
Well, I'm going to thank you in advance for your time and sharing your wisdom with us. So, my first question is to you, Crystal.
Okay.
How have things changed for you since you were a young parent until now? I mean, you were a
Well,
mom, right?
yeah, I mean, I was a single parent, and so things have changed. I mean, I think this question could eat up the entire podcast with my answers, honestly, but I have far more wisdom. Everett has far more wisdom, but I mean, in terms of being an educator, there's a lot more inclusivity and community and schools and a massive focus on transition. But I'm also far less worried than I was as a young parent, right? Because he has created his best life, like his own version of the American dream. And I mean, he's clearly taken the reins as a person who, in terms of his advocacy for disability and youth engagement. So, I mean, I'm able to sit back now and kind of enjoy the fruits of the labor, I guess you want to say, and just watch it continually evolve. So,
Very
yeah,
cool. Well,
yeah.
and my perception, and we always joke about this or talk about this, Sue, is that as a kid, I always felt like my mom was
Oh boy.
following the advice of experts, quote unquote, right? And then there came a time that I think my mom realized that I had to have my own voice. And not that she never didn't listen to me, because we always communicated. It's been one of our blessings as mother and son, but I think that she started to trust our instincts a little bit more as what we felt we needed for there to be success for us as a family, and not always just do what a doctor said or take what they say as like the only option, right? Because life takes many forms and things like that. So I feel like that's how things have changed. We've become more of a conversational in that whole idea, instead of just listening to what other people say and being critical thinkers
For
together,
sure.
I think too.
For
For sure.
sure.
Okay, so my
And
next question for you, Crystal, is, I've worked with parents who have kids with disabilities for the past 42 years. So yeah, it might look like,
Thank you for
I'm
doing
so
that.
yeah. But I came across a lot of families who kind of fit into one of two categories. Either they were families who felt like their children were never going to be independent and that they needed to have, their eyes on, and they had fears about their children taking the bus or going and getting a job. And then I worked with families who really promoted independence in their children. I guess my question is, and I'm pretty sure I can guess the answer, where do you fit in this? And did that, wherever you are now, evolve from where you were before?
I did a segue from
True.
this, I think. Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say that what you just talked about, Everett, that whole piece about being a young parent and just following what the powers that be tell you to do because you have no idea. And anybody would feel the same when you're, faced with something you've never experienced. You go to those who are educated around it and share their knowledge with you. But so I did follow that at first. And then I don't even know, I can't even guess an age when I decided to not be against them, but I know him best, and I want him to really be able to do his own thing. Like, to no matter what he did you do your best? Because he's going to know if he did his best or not, and then it's on him. And to make it work, whatever he was doing for it, how his body feels. I mean, I still to this day have no idea what it feels like to be in a body with a cerebral palsy. So I cannot assume that this is how he should get from point A to point B, if it's easier for him. And I really think I definitely was the parent of figure it out for yourself. That sounds awful, but I wanted him to make his own mistakes because I've learned my life lessons from mistakes, right? And not just from a parent insisting that you do it a certain way, because yeah, it just felt better to me that, this works better for me, Mom. And okay, well then do it that way.
When I
So,
and I have a vivid memory, Mom, of, I mean, I can pinpoint it, where you kind of went
okay.
from this, you early on, probably up to almost kindergarten, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to do everything for me, right? It was all on a schedule. We get dressed now. This is when we shower. This is when you wake up. This is when you do that. And then somebody said, I still don't know who that was, but they said, hey, why can't he do that, some of that on his own? And it was like your brain shifted away from, I'm gonna do this for him, to I'm going to put him in situations where he can figure it out on his own time. And there were often times, Sue, where my mom would literally give me a task and I would agree to do this. It wasn't like I was like, it wasn't like she was like, do this now or you're not gonna get, macaroni and cheese or whatever. It was like, we're gonna practice this. But mom was really good at walking away and saying, take as much time as you need to figure it out. And when you
I was
do,
screaming inside.
let's talk about how we did this, right? So it was like I learned how to get dressed that way, learned how to tie my shoes that way, learned how to, do fine motor activities that I struggle with my own way because she gave me the space to do it that way. And so there was like this mind shift away from I need to help and support Everett do everything to I'm going to help him learn and be okay with how I do the things that I was doing.
I think one of the examples that popped up for me was, always encouraging standing, right? Because that's what the powers that be said, that, we have to stand, we have to walk. And we understand now it's very overrated walking, right? Or
Well,
standing. So,
for us, for me, it was. For me, yeah.
I vividly remember, doing chores to get your allowance, like a lot of children get. And it was doing the dishes. So standing at the sink to do the dishes. And kind of like that walking away, like you said, I could see there was still cheese on the plate or whatever, but I didn't say a thing because I feel like he tried his best. I went back and cleaned them later and did that for a long time until I felt like, okay, he's pretty confident in this. Now it's okay to say, hey, you missed the bacon over here or whatever. So he wasn't deflated right away. So
And I still
that
like to do dishes. I still like to
yeah,
do
he
them.
does. It's
Do
weird.
you? Yeah, ask my wife. I don't mind. We call it the
Great,
dignity of
thanks.
risk. The dignity of risk is kind of what we're talking about. It's good to be able to be allowed to A, take risks. And make mistakes. And that's what it sounds like. Speaking of, when Everett first told you he was getting married and ultimately became a dad, what was your initial reaction? And I've been waiting to ask you this question for a while.
Oh,
I
my
have.
gosh. Well, because of who he was marrying. Yeah, I mean, I was over the moon excited for that. And I mean, he had moved on purpose to be closer to her and to create his career in that area in Pennsylvania. So I mean, I really feel like I'm blessed that we've always been able to have pretty ridiculously open conversations around relationship. And so, yeah. And I couldn't be happier for him. And it was exciting. I couldn't wait to plan and go on the wedding. I mean, it was a cruise. It was awesome. Like,
Yeah, I guess
so
we did get married on a cruise ship. We did
they
in Horton,
did.
Miami. We did.
Yes, it was like a week long party, definitely. But they've created a really wonderful life together, and they're a wonderful team, really. And and then kind of fast forward to the little girl. I don't know if I'm allowed to say her name, but she calls me honey, and she is a wonderful blend of the two of them. She's also kind of being guided in the way of say what's on your mind and kind of with confidence, right? And but they're a wonderful team, and I do think incorrectly.
What was there not though, Mom? I mean, you're not wrong about anything you're saying. You were nervous though about being a grandma, just because I don't think you really want to be
Well,
grandma.
I
That
was a
was
young
one,
mom, so being a
but I can. But,
grandma, only because a lot of my friends have custody of their grandchildren, and I knew that wouldn't be the thing. It's just Yeah, I guess I was selfishly like, I'm
No.
not ready for this. But now it's like she
But
was
the other but the
always
other
there.
thing too, like my mom being who she is, we're in the we're in our, I guess, what do they call that? I don't know, the afterbirth suite, whatever the hotel they
Recovery
give,
kind of like
whatever.
recovery.
Yeah, but it's like we're living there for a couple days, right? So my mom is coming in and she's like, already got baby carriers that are like can fit around me four words, and we're talking about how am I gonna hold this baby and what am I gonna do to feed it and how am I gonna do the diaper change and like looking at different bassinets. And we were able to find a crib that was like fully motorized that
Hydraulic.
it raised and lowered to my level. But that was mom being like, we gotta find solutions, and she would just come over. And it, again, reverting back to when I was 7 years old, it's like, let's try this, and if it doesn't work, that's okay, but we'll try something. And so really helping me find my independence as a dad, because she knew that you can't rely on one parent to, like, where you shouldn't have to, like, you created this together, so let's figure things out to make it
Well,
easier.
and on that note, Everett's father was absent, has been, still is, and so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the value of a parent being right there all the time is, yeah. So, what that should really feel like to a child.
Awesome. Now, Everett, I'm going to ask you a question, but before I do, I'm going to ask you a different question, which is first, tell me a little bit about what you do for a living now.
I currently am an independent contractor with a disability-owned and operated consulting firm focusing on advocacy and coalition building around people with disabilities and helping people to elevate. But I also work with a lot of national technical assistance centers that focus on, and my focus is primarily helping young adults with disabilities find their voice and to be engaged in the processes that impact them when they're going from school to adulthood. I think that my mom being a job coach for almost 30 years, it kind of influenced my direction, but I feel like I found my voice as a young person with a disability by being a part of programs like that. And I find a lot of value in connecting with people to bring it to pay it forward, right? And so I also get the chance to adjunct at a community college most semesters. And so pretty busy right now, but it's been a journey to get to that space. But I think having my mom be a job coach, she was very focused on helping me to identify things I didn't want to do, things I like to do, and to kind of think about my post-secondary options, which has led to this career that I've built for myself now. And I feel very blessed. But I used to hate it when I was like younger. I used to hate all the things that were about looking at jobs or trying out programs. It was
And when you were
very
younger,
unfun.
yeah, when you were
Unfun.
younger, did you have a sense of what you thought your career was going to be? Well,
Honestly,
you
I
liked
can honestly
running the
say
cash register at Hershey Chocolate World.
That's because there was girls there. That was, I mean, that was, I mean, but honestly, Sue, I would say I did not, because I got to college and just assumed that I was going to get some kind of degree and I guess do something. And I quickly realized that I really had no plan outside of, I had gone to a school to play adaptive sports, right? And that was so, and mom was wholly supportive in that too. But that was like probably my life existence from like age 12 to 19 was literally like, I'm going to become a wheelchair basketball player and do whatever I got to do to get to college. Right. And that's what I did. And when I got there, I literally almost had no vision about what a paying job would be that I could actually do outside of being an adult. And that does not mean my mom didn't have me do programs and be a part of those things. But we did all those steps, and I still was like, got to that end and was like, I don't really know. I don't know if I, I thought I had a plan and I didn't like it, is I guess kind of where it kind of landed, if that makes sense. The basketball didn't go well. I felt like I was too far from home. And my vision of what I thought my future was going to be kind of got turned on its head. So not initially, but I've been very blessed to kind of find my way.
Did you have career like assessments or vocational assessments when you were younger that would help you to guide your future in some ways? And why are you both laughing?
Ahead, Mama. Go ahead.
Well, I guess, just kind of going off what Everett said about, even his experience at college initially got kind of like flipped upside down, and even goes back to that opportunity, right, to go try something, and it's really okay if it doesn't pan out. It's just a shift, right? But you kind of have to take responsibility at the same time. And so when you ask about assessments,
I think I did the thing, Sue, that were, when you'd go down to the computer lab and fill out a questionnaire and they'd spit out careers. And then and we did all that and I would talk to people, but then I can vividly remember I wanted to be a sportscaster in middle school. And my mom connected me to a local news station that I got to see what it meant to be a sportscaster. I did not want to be a sportscaster after that. I was like, no
You
thanks.
tried it, you looked at it, and then
I looked
you
at it and
did
that was it. But then like she signed me up for like summer programs every summer that were like, go and I was weeding, washing windows, I was doing data entry, I was all sorts of places working with people doing those things. But it really wasn't until we got to VR that we started to really look at like vocational rehab, in terms of looking at what I could do in terms of college. But even after all of that, what I thought I was going to do, like college didn't really work out the way it was supposed to. So I really had to like reevaluate almost at the age of 19 to figure out where I was going to go. And only after that did I start to map out a plan that actually made sense to get to an income that wasn't, working at Chocolate World. You know what I mean? So,
Right. And those job tryouts are so critical. So critical to,
I
as I
knew that I
say,
wanted
try
to
it
go to
on for
college based on
size,
that.
try it on for size and see what fits. Which then brings me to one of my very favorite questions that I ask people was, if you were in a room full of families and parents and individuals with disabilities, and you had this room full of people, what would be one of your biggest pieces of advice to them based on where you came from, like your history, what you know now, your lessons learned?
Assume competence.
Assume confidence. Assume that
Yeah.
he's going to get it.
Yes.
Excellent.
I assume that they
Go
want to
ahead, Mom.
try, that he wanted to try. And so one piece, assume competence.
Well, and I think to kind of go off that, I didn't always want to try things, but I was willing to hear out why I was doing them, right? So one of the things I would say to families is explain why you're doing things, right? Include your child in the conversation. And then when it becomes effort, you don't have a choice. You're going to try this job, or you're going to get a summer job, Everett. You don't have a choice, right?
Pick
Let's
one.
pick one, right? Right? Pick one. At least, even though it's like, I might be kicking and screaming in the beginning, I get it, right? I get it. But then also, though, when there are things that feel like it's a red flag or a full stop For example, Sue, I didn't get my license until I was 22 years old because driving scared me to the nth degree. And to some extent, I have limitations when it comes to driving a vehicle, right? And so I had to come to terms with that. And my mom had to come to terms with that. Like, there are limits. And so we now know that, and the people that support me respect that. And so, and that's not something that ever gets brought up again about how we're not achieving a certain level or whatever. It's just we figured out solutions to make it work for me, right? So there's times to kind of sit back and say, is what my child's saying, is that a time where I can, where I need to stop pushing and hear what someone's saying? So it also means don't be afraid to fail is the last thing I would say, and to like change course.
And you know, you're using driving as an example, which is great because that's one of those, you know, there's we call them reversible versus irreversible decisions our children make, you know, and
That's
driving,
great, Sue.
you know, driving
Yes.
is if you don't, if you don't get it right, there's some real, could be some real irreversible.
Right.
So
Yes,
I
you're right.
asked you,
You're
Crystal,
correct.
how did you deal with that emotionally, knowing that he was going to start driving?
Oh.
You couldn't wait. I know that
Well,
you couldn't
I
wait.
really couldn't, I really couldn't wait. But then, like Everett said, it started to bring up other concerns around it, for safety, just like you're saying. And maybe some other parents do this too. I did not want to be the one in the car with him. We couldn't really make that work. So, had somebody else out for lessons and those kinds of things, which
Well,
it
and we actually learned my limitations as to why I was having some of the issues I was having. And it was hard for me, Sue, I think, to be intellectually aware that things were happening behind the wheel that I couldn't explain, you know, like in some ways, right? Like I couldn't explain why my body reacted a certain way or that things happened. And it kind of uncovered us doing some more discovery about my disability too and what that actually means to be behind the wheel for an extended period of time. So, well, I mean, really what it boils down to is I can't be behind the wheel for hours and hours and hours. It just fatigues my body. And
And you're,
fatigue
yeah.
wasn't even in our
No.
conversations at all. And now it is very much in conversations about everything that we do as I turn to be 40 soon. So
Right. Again, lessons learned from where you
yes.
were, where you are now. One more quick question for you, Crystal. So being a grandma, you know, you're also a mother-in-law and may not like the term, but you are. How do you now support Everett and his family? I mean, are you a cooker? Do you cook?
No.
See, there we go.
No, ask Everett that. He's like, yeah, we'll
Okay,
have
so you're done.
something, right?
But you're
I try not
there.
to
You're
laugh. I try
present.
not to laugh. Oh, yes.
You're very present.
I
You
mean, somehow
make it.
he lived. So we'll
Well,
just say
but
that, but
go, I
just
mean,
advice. So advice on I don't know. I don't want to just call it advice. It's
more than
interesting.
that.
Like,
It's more than that.
yeah. Well, as a grandmother, still as your child is older, we're programmed to offer advice, you know. So I've really learned to
Oh,
zip
duct
it.
tape. Duct tape.
Yep, just zip it. And I'm not zipping it because what they're doing isn't right. But if they ask me a question, I'll give my honest answer and an opinion. And it feels good to be able to just be the grandma too, and she and I do adventures. So that's what we do. We have one coming up camping. So
Well, I guess the other thing too to is that my wife loves my mom, but she
it
will
helps.
often say to me, "You guys are super honest with each other." Like almost to a fault. like we are
Mm-hmm.
really open and honest because I think because the way we were, I guess we grew up together in that way. So
Sure.
like for my wife, it was like super uncomfortable that we could just be like, I'm not doing that, or we're doing this, or I don't like what you said there. You know what I mean? But like there's it's all love. And I think that for me, it's allowed me to want to ask her advice because I know that she's gonna hear what I say and not say, you're an awful person right away. Like that's not where it starts. It's a very open and honest, and it always has been. I mean, how many moms can you tell that you went to a party and that they're there to pick you up if something goes wrong? That was my mom, right? Like my mom helped me arrange a senior trip when I graduated high school with nine of my closest friends to the beach. Okay. And willingly
Was
did that on
terrifying.
purpose. She was scared to death, but I never knew that. Right. But they were all like, your mom is like, your mom's different than my mom. And I'm like, but it didn't mean we didn't have rules though either. So like there were expectations that were high, but I always knew that I should come to her. And that's translated into being an adult. And
Very cool.
And it's fun to hear. It's fun to kind of listen in when Everett's saying, oh my gosh, she's really being a 3-year-old, or she was really being a 2-year-old. But they are an amazing team together with her. And yeah, she just, it's nice to be there if they have a question. And like, how do you get a baby to sleep through the night? And yeah, just those little things that I think every grandparent is kind of like, oh gosh, and it works, right? Like magic. Yeah. So,
Very cool. Speaking of questions, I have no more questions for you. Do you have any questions or things that maybe came up as we're talking that you wanted to reflect on? If the answer is no, that's okay.
I always do, Mom. So I don't know what you want to say something.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. I'll go ahead. I was just gonna say. I think one of the and I know Sue. Like part of this podcast is around like work and vocational stuff and all of that. And I think that part of the thing is that people focus. They hyper focus on the end result of school or a job or life. And I think that you have to start to think about it more holistically, like looking at the whole person too, right? So you get laser focused on that job outcome or that independent living goal. And those are huge things. But you have to start to think about the future and where do you want to be in the future? Where do you want to be in the end? And what I tell people is that when you're working with young adults, they want to know things like, how do I make money? How do I find friends? How do I maybe find romance? And how do I get away from my parents? That's a lot of what young adults are thinking. And so not that that sounds super negative, but maybe to some parents,
No, it
but
doesn't.
it's starting to think about life outside of just the goal that you feel like you're driving to, and think about somebody's hopes and dreams and where they want to be and start to create things around that. I feel like that really helped us to allow me to choose different careers and different paths and to be supportive of each other, I guess, in that way
Well, and
too.
just maybe one more thing about that. In helping your child feel safe enough and confident enough to go after something and give it a good try, but to also be that kind of soft place to land when it might not go that way, and that's okay, but that we're not going to just fall off the canyon. We're just going to pick back up and keep moving forward differently. And that's okay.
And small progress is still progress.
Yeah,
So.
and I think one of the things that I'm hearing from both of you, but especially from you, Crystal, is you're gonna fall, you're gonna make mistakes. And either as a parent, you have choices. Either you could say, oh my gosh, they made a mistake, that means they can't do it. Versus they made a mistake, let's try a different way. And
Right.
yet sometimes I hear from families both ways. And I think
Sure.
you, from what I'm hearing from you, is, let's pick it up and try something different. Let's try a
Right.
different way to do this. We're not giving up, in other words.
Right. And it's okay to go and go in the corner and wipe your tears and, but there has to be a time that it's okay to just keep moving forward and, choose a different direction. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for joining our podcast, Same Page Podcast. And I say to all of the listeners and watchers, stay tuned. We have more coming.